I want to speak on the truth tonight. We'll start with John's Gospel, chapter 1. And verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Chapter 8. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Fourteenth chapter, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. The 17th chapter, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4, verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. 1 John chapter 5. First Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. We have the Word is truth. The Lord Jesus is the truth. I didn't read that verse, and I must read it. It's in John 14, verse 6. We know it well. But I want to read it. John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the truth, the Spirit is the truth, and his word is truth. Now turn with me to the second epistle of John. We're going to read these two short epistles, second and third John, and you will notice as I read them, how many times the truth occurs. The children may want to count them. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, Lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and to speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Now the third epistle. And you'll notice also, many times the word truth appears. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. There are many similarities between these two short epistles. Both of them were addressed by the elder. The first one, 2 John, was addressed to an elect lady and her children. And the third epistle was addressed to the well-beloved Gaius. Both have the truth in it. 2 John is negative, and 3 John is positive. Now, we need both in order to have the truth. Sometimes you hear it said, just speak positive things. Don't give me anything negative. Well, the Word of God is filled with negatives. We need both. We have to be able to recognize who the enemy is and to avoid them and who the friends are, and to fellowship them. Second John is a warning against enemies. Third John is a commendation to Gaius for receiving friends. The last two sentences in Third John is the friends salute thee, greet the friends by name. The Lord Jesus said, ye are my friends, for whatsoever I have made, the Father hath made known unto me, I have declared unto you. My friends. Wonderful to have friends. And there are warnings in the Word of God against those who are not his friends, but rather his enemies, to avoid them. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. A hypocrite after a heretic after a first and second admonition have done with. And the first epistle of John, the fourth chapter, I'll just read a couple verses there. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and now already is it in the world. Well, it was in the world back then in the first century, and it's certainly very much so in the 21st century where we are today. The second epistle ends with, having many things to write unto you, I would not with paper and ink. The third epistle, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. That they were both looking for speaking face to face. You notice that in the third epistle, the word beloved is found a number of times. Verse 1, the well-beloved Gaius. Verse 2, beloved. Verse 5, beloved. Verse 11, beloved. But not once do you have that word in 2 John. The atmosphere of 2 John is severity and firmness and a warning that this elect lady and her children, and we have a number of children here tonight. I would say that if I had been writing this, and I'd have made a mistake, I'd have been wrong, I would have addressed 2 John to the man and 3 John to the woman, because the woman is the one that is very naturally one that extends hospitality, invites one in, gives them food, and takes care of them. And it would be much, much more difficult for a woman to refuse someone that came to the door and not let them in. But that's exactly the way 2 John is written. It's written to the elect lady, the sister, and her children. And the key word in 2 John is in verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, the truth of his person, receive him not. That's the key word in 2 John. Receive him not. The key word in 3 John is in verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Now, in order to carry this instruction out, to really be walking in the truth, we have to know who the enemy is, and we have to know who the friends are, and we are to conduct ourselves towards the enemy with severity, and not to welcome them in, and not to have fellowship with them, and towards the friends, those who are friends, we are to receive, and to have fellowship with them. But in order to do that, we have to make no mistake about it. One of the mistakes that is sometimes made is under the pretense of love, we receive someone that is not really a friend, but an enemy. an antichrist. Both of these epistles have men that come to the door, purportedly being a servant of the Lord. But the difference is that in the second epistle, the one that comes does not bring the doctrine of Christ. And they're not to be fellowshipped, and they're not to be received, and they're not to be treated as though they did bring the doctrine of Christ. In the third epistle, they come taking nothing of the Gentiles, and Gaius received them, and that's exactly what he was to do. We therefore ought to receive such. There was a man there, though, in 3 John, and we'll get to that. He's called Diotrephes, that was totally out of tune with treating the friends the way he did. He didn't receive them, nor did he welcome them at all. In fact, he even cast those out of the church that did receive them. Diotrephes, an evil man. Well, it's wonderful if we're going to be walking in the truth. We have to know the truth ourselves so that we can recognize that which is false. I remember once I was speaking to children, and I took out a dollar bill and I gave it to one of the children, and I said, "What does that dollar bill prove to you?" Well, actually, it wasn't a real one. It was spurious. It was not a real dollar bill. And I don't think you can guess what it proves. Well, what it proves, if I show you a counterfeit dollar bill, it proves there's a real one. You can't counterfeit nothing. You have to counterfeit what exists and what is real. And so all we have to do, what a banker is taught, is to recognize the genuine thing, the real tender as it comes into their hands. They can feel it, they can look at it, and they all know this is not a counterfeit. And how do they know it? By knowing what is real, knowing the truth itself. All you have to do is know the truth, and you can recognize the counterfeits, those who are not really friends. Although they come in sheep's clothing, and they pretend to be friends, but they're not really friends, because they don't bring the doctrine of Christ. They don't bring the truth of Christ. That's 2 John. So 2 John is a warning against deceivers and antichrists and enemies, and 3 John is a commendation to Gaius for receiving friends, those that go forth taking nothing of the Gentiles and bring the truth of God. Now, having said that, let's go through the two epistles. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. Now, the elect lady would be a picture of the assembly. Oh, I didn't read the verse, and I want to read it. Turn to 1 Timothy 3, very important verse. 1 Timothy 3. And verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. He's talking to the elder Paul is talking to Timothy, a young man, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now notice, the church is not the truth. Christ is the truth. The Spirit is the truth. Christ is the truth objectively. The Spirit is the truth subjectively. Spirit indwells us. He makes good within us the truth that is in Christ outside of us, objectively, and His Word is truth. But the assembly, once it is taught, is to be the upholder and the maintainer of the truth. She is the pillar and ground of the truth. And the primary truth she's responsible to uphold is in the next verse. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, the secret of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Paul preached two phases of the gospel And the one was the gospel of the grace of God, which was God coming down and becoming a man. The Word was made flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. He left those courts of light above and came down. He who was in the form of God laid that aside and assumed the form of a servant. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The truth as to his person, the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, God coming down and becoming a man. And the last part of that is received up into glory. A man is in the glory. That's the gospel of the glory. He preached the gospel of the grace of God, gospel of the glory. Two aspects of the whole wonderful truth that is in that 16th verse. The assembly is the pillar and ground of the truth. The assembly is not a legislative body. She does not make the rules. The rules God has made, and we have them in here, in the Word of God. She is responsible to carry them out, to uphold and maintain them, but she has no business making the rules. God has given that to us in his Word. She's to carry it out and to see that it is carried out faithfully before him. It's interesting that in the second epistle of John, the second chapter of 1 John, I'll just turn you back to it for just a moment. There's three age groups in the family of God. There's the fathers, the young men, and the little children. And it's interesting that to the little children, verse 18 of chapter 2 of 1 John, it is the last time, he says, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. He's warning little children in the family about Antichrist, those that are not true and real. And he warns them. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that all of them were not of us. They left the profession of Christianity. But ye, you children, if you're real, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Ye need not that anyone teach you these things. You know who Jesus is. You know who he is, the Son of God. You know who he is. And you're to uphold and maintain that. So he addresses this second epistle not only to the elect lady. Certainly she didn't have the same measure of responsibility as her husband, because he's the head. But he doesn't address 2 John to the man. He addresses it to the woman. In other words, he's saying those who have the least responsibility in the house of God are responsible for this truth, to know who Jesus is, and to refuse to admit and have fellowship with those who are his enemies, deceivers. Verse 7 of 2 John, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. They don't confess the truth of his person, that he pre-existed before he became a man, and then that one who was the eternal God, the creator of all things, came in flesh. The Word became flesh and became a man and came here. He is very God and very man. That's what's involved in that confession. And the elect lady was responsible to know that, and her children too. We ought to know who he is, and not fellowship with that which is traitorous and false to him. The elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. That verse sounds almost identical to a verse in John 14 where it's speaking of the Spirit of God, who is the truth and dwells in us. He is the Spirit of truth. So we have the indwelling of the truth itself in the person of the Holy Spirit, and we have the truth lived out before us in the four Gospels in perfection that we can get well acquainted with by acquainting ourselves with Him in the Word. His Word is truth. You know, if we knew this Word, if we knew this book, really knew it, and really knew the truth, all these cults and false religious systems that have developed and sprung up wouldn't have had a chance to spring up. It's ignorance of this book that has allowed these men who are nothing but fakes, and in it for the monetary gain that they can get, and some of them have even worse motives than that, they want to destroy. They hate the one who is the truth, the Lord Jesus. It was Paul that wrote Ephesians 4, that where he says the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, he hated that name at one time when he was Saul of Tarsus. And he had a measure of truth from the Old Testament, but he did not have the truth because he did not have the Lord Jesus. Until he was met by the glorified Christ on high on the road to Damascus, and then he was completely changed. And he stood for the truth probably as no man has ever done, as strong for it as he had been against it, stronger yet, the Apostle Paul. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Now all of us who are parents and have children, we know what that is. We know how wonderful it is when our children, not all of them in this case, but some did. But we rejoice in that. And there's nothing that grieves us more when our children, whom we have sought to teach the truth of God, do not walk in it. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children, that supposes maybe not all of them were going on in the truth, but some of them were, of thy children walking in truth, as we have received commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, Lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Now that's interesting. This is divine love. And divine love shows itself, as it says in the fifth chapter of the first epistle. Everyone that loveth him, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. We walk in obedience to his word, and his commandments are not grievous. You want to be happy? Obey him. You want to have his blessing upon you? Obey him. Walk in obedience. That's the secret. You want to be miserable? Disobey him. He that soweth to his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life, and the fullness and blessing of it. You're sojourning here in fear. You should have a holy fear and reverence so that we don't displease him. We don't do anything that would not be according to his will. Well, he writes to this elect lady and her children. You see, the children are held accountable too, knowing who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He presses love upon her. not the kind of love that would throw its arms around an enemy and cover them with kisses. That's what Judas did when he betrayed his Lord. And the Lord, trying to win his heart, still at the very last, he said, "Friend, deliverest thou up the Son of Man with a kiss." Kiss of the traitor. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments, walk in obedience. This is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. From the beginning refers to him down here. The first epistle begins with that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Christ down here. John's gospel begins with, in the beginning, eternal past, his eternity of being. John's epistle starts with his incarnation. Verse 7, now this is what he's warning her about. You notice the word beloved is not in this second epistle. It's in the third epistle many times. It has a very stern character to it. God is light is written over 2 John, and God is love is written over 3 John. But the two go together. And if you're going to walk in the truth, you can't be short in either one of those. They go together. And if he who is the Spirit of truth dwells in us and has control over us, we will walk in the light of 2 John and the love of 3 John. But he talks here in this 2 John of love. He says, this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. And then he warns her and the children, for many deceivers are entered into the world. Many deceivers are out there. I had a young person say to me once, how naive we can be. I thought that if anyone took the trouble of putting something into print so that it was in a book, it had to be true. They really thought that. No, the enemy uses every means at his disposal to deceive us. There's probably more literature in print out there that is anti-Christian than it is Christian. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not. I'm going to read it as it really should read. Confess not Jesus Christ come in flesh. It's the person who pre-existed his coming, and he came in flesh. I couldn't talk of you coming in flesh, or of any of you coming in flesh, or of me coming in flesh. It wouldn't make any sense. It's the only way I can come. But this is a person that pre-existed his incarnation. It implies his deity. The one who came in flesh existed before he came in flesh in the form of God. And he came to where we were. But these deceivers don't confess Jesus Christ come in flesh. It's not the fact that he came. Everyone knows that. Every Christmas, the whole of Christendom celebrates the birthday of Christ. That's not the truth. That's not what John's talking about. He's talking about confessing the person who came in flesh. That he became a man. That God was manifest in the flesh. That's the truth he's talking about. And he says, this is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, these two epistles are very similar in some ways and very different in others. Look to yourselves, he says, that we lose not those things which we have wrought and that we receive a full reward. If she didn't go on in the truth and her children, then he would lose his reward. They were his children in the faith. Now, verse 9 says, whosoever transgresseth, New Translation gives it better, whosoever goes forward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. The doctrine of Christ is the truth of his person, that he is very God and very man, truly God and truly man. God and man in one person, the divine and human, united in one person. And because of that, which is a truth that is beyond our comprehension, it says in Matthew 11, no man knoweth the Son but the Father.
is the only one that can understand the union of God and man in one person. We know it's true, but we can't fathom it. It's beyond our puny minds to grasp. Whosoever goes forward, I remember I was passing out tracks at an elevated station in Chicago. It's where you get off the L and got onto the subway, and you could either take the subway or you could take the L, which circles the loop and comes back. And I sat next to a, well, I'm wrong. It wasn't at Howard Street. It was at Fullerton, where there's the theological seminary. And I sat next to one of the teachers there. He was a modernist. And we got to talking, and he asked me, well, what do you believe? I said, well, I believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. I believe that, I believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe that one of the persons of the Trinity, the second, whom we call the Son, became a man. And on the cross he died for our sins and paid the penalty for sin so that God could offer forgiveness and eternal life to whosoever will receive him. I believe in the coming of the Holy Spirit who indwells me, takes of the things of Christ and shows them to me. I believe that he's coming again to take us home to be with himself at the rapture. And then he's coming back with us to set up his kingdom. And I went on and on and I said more to him than that. And he smiled at me and he said, that's nice. Now you've got to go on. You've got to go on to the deeper things. Beloved, there's nothing more deep than the person and work of Christ. And that's what John is talking about here. Whosoever transgresseth or whosoever goes forward, he wanted to go beyond the basic, wonderful truths that we have in the Word of God. And you go one step beyond what's been revealed here of the person and work of Christ, and you go into deadly error. And that's where he was. It was nice, the things I told him. But you could tell the way he said it, it didn't mean a thing to him. He did not know the person that I knew. He did not love him. And yet he was a professor of theology. Well, many deceivers are entered into the world who don't confess Jesus Christ come in flesh. That's the very kind that John is talking about here. Whosoever goes forward and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now he's established that truth to this elect lady and her children. And now he says, if there come any unto you, purportedly being a minister of the gospel, and bring not this doctrine. Don't bring the truth of who Jesus is. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Don't fellowship with him. Don't invite him in for a cup of tea or for any kind of fellowship whatsoever. They don't bring the doctrine of Christ. Reject them. Second John tells us who to reject. Third John tells us who to receive. Verse 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed, he that shows him fellowship of any kind, is a partaker of his evil deeds. I remember once at a meeting in Milwaukee, I was horrified to learn of this, but the Jehovah's Witnesses had a conference there, and they were asking the people in Milwaukee to open their homes and take these Jehovah's Witnesses in and put them up, so they'd have a place to stay while the conference went on. And a brother opened his home to Jehovah's Witnesses in direct violation of 2 John. He opened his home, gave them bedding, probably even fed them. That was sad. He that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. If Christ doesn't mean more to you than that, that you can fellowship with his enemies, you're not much of a Christian. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. So he writes to the elder writes to the elect lady and her children, and ends with, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Now we come to 3 John. Now remember, if you're going to be in the truth, you have to carry out 2 John as well as 3 John, and 3 John as well as 2 John. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. There you have that beautiful word, beloved. You don't get that at all in 2 John. Because those that came to this woman were not beloved. They were enemies. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Here came some into his house that he'd never met before, but they were true believers in the Lord, just spreading the gospel and ministering to the saints. And he took them in. He housed them. He fed them, which have borne witness of thy charity or thy love before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. And that's what he was doing. He was having fellowship with those who were friends. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. They were true laborers for the Lord. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. But there was someone there. There was someone there, his name was Diotrephes, who was of a different, how should I put it? A different disposition from Gaius and from Demetrius. Those are the two that he writes to Gaius and he commends Demetrius. I think this third epistle was a letter of commendation for Demetrius that he brought there. Notice what he says about this evil man, Diotrephes. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence above them, receiveth us not. Didn't even receive the apostle John. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. Now, 3 John is a commendation for receiving the brethren. But this man didn't receive them. He was acting just the opposite. You see, the danger in 2 John is to receive the enemy. And the danger in 3 John is to refuse to receive friends. How do we conduct ourselves towards one another? One of the last things Mr. Darby said before he died was, don't forget John's ministry in insisting on Paul's. Paul gives the dispensation in which the display is. John gives what is displayed, the eternal life that was with the Father. That nature, that life that all the children of God partake of. He did more. John says, verse 10, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth. We don't have anyone like John or Paul with apostolic authority, or Peter, but they had it. And he says, if I come, I think the force of that is, when I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. How could one have such power? Well, this is written for a purpose, that when someone of this character is there, they ought to be recognized and dealt with accordingly. Then he changes again. Verse 11, he talks to Gaius, beloved. Demetrius was not one of them. Excuse me. Demetrius was one of them. Diotrephes was not one of them. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. That's what Diotrephes was doing. But that which is good. He was receiving the friends. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. And now he commends, Demetrius is commended. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also, John says, we also bear record. And you know that our record is true. And then it ends similarly to the second epistle. I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. The friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Wonderful to be a friend. Wonderful that he called some, his disciples, his friends. Let's look at that verse in John 13. John 13, 15, excuse me. John 15. Verse 12, John 15, 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. In 2 John, love takes the character of firmly refusing fellowship with an enemy. You say, is that love? Yes, it is. It's not love to commend an enemy, to throw your arms around an enemy and say, and treat them as though they're a friend. That's not love. If we're going to be true to him. But he calls us friends. And he is made known to us. How does he say it? He says, all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. That's very, very precious. He brings us into his confidence. And he says, whatever he's told me, I've made known to you. I haven't kept anything back. You're my friends. And I want to share my thoughts with you. And in the measure in which we do that and are obedient to his word is the measure in which verse 11 of John 15 will be true of us. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You want joy? You walk in obedience to him and value every word that he has spoken. And given to you, to me. And we do that by becoming so acquainted with this precious book that we know his very thoughts, his very mind. What the Father has told him, he brings us into that innermost circle of blessedness. Walk in the truth by the Spirit. Christ is the truth. His word is the truth. 2 John is a warning against those that don't walk in the truth. And 3 John is a commendation to fellowship those that do. May God give us grace to know the difference. Not treat the enemies as friends and not treat the friends as enemies. To know the difference. And conduct ourselves accordingly with respect to each. Let's sing 61.
before we close, 61. How wondrous the glories that meet in Jesus and from his face shine. His love is eternal and sweet. 'Tis human, 'tis also divine. This hymn brings before us the doctrine of Christ, very God and very man.